Hey there, my infinite love listeners. Today I'm going to do something a little different. I have a little bit of Love and Basketball on my brain. And no, not the movie, even though that's a real good movie. It's about my love for basketball growing up. I grew up on a block that had mostly boys, and the younger brother by just a year. And I always wanted to hang out with him, as well as play with all the kids on the block, even if it meant getting rough and tough in the dirt, playing any sport that we could. You see, I wanted to do whatever my brother did. We were so close. I loved being around him, even if he was a pain in my butt. But besides the point, we would always just be outside, enjoying life. And basketball was one of those sports we played. And I loved watching and learning. And my brother had this talent. Sometimes I'd be jealous of this because he simply could touch a sport and turn it into magic, turn it into his own. He was amazing at anything and everything he did, he put his mind to. He just had that natural ability, that natural gift. I remember we would play so much that my dad had cemented the backyard, put up a basketball hoop, and we would play outside for hours and hours until it was finally time to come in. But that feeling when you picked up the ball and you started dribbling, the world seemed to stop. And it was just you, the basketball court, and all your dreams right there in front of you. It was amazing. It was such a feeling that came over me anytime I grabbed that basketball, started dribbling, practicing, and just playing. It felt so free, like I was soaring in the sky. I felt unstoppable. It wasn't until fourth grade when my mom decided to start coaching, creating a team for us so we could all play, because she knew I loved basketball. But she also knew that my brother loved basketball and he was already playing on a team. Go figure. Boys, they always had it all set up for them. Teams were always there and ready. But for girls, well, it's a little different back then. So my mom, unbeknownst to her what she was doing, wrangled in my best friend's mom to be her assistant coach. And you have two ladies who haven't a clue what they're doing with basketball, but creating something so much bigger for all of us to play, to be on a team as one. It definitely was a team of misfits. And I label it as that because we all stood out in our own unique ways. It's not your typical all-athletic women's team. We're fourth graders. We don't even know if we love basketball. We have our popular girls, our quiet girls, our nerdy girls, our very outspoken girls, our very religious girls. So you see, we were all so different, and yet when we played together, we were one. And that was such a cool experience, to be a part of a team of different personalities, of different labels, as we were given back then. I was a shy girl. I didn't really know who I was. I was quiet, yet had my funny moments. But I was all love. Well, especially for basketball. And I was definitely very awkward. I was this short, skinny girl whose uniform was 10 sizes too big for her, whose feet truly did not belong to her body, as I wore my black and red Air Jordans. I looked like I had clown feet. My doctor had always told me I was going to be really tall. I guess it never caught up to me. And that's fine, but back then, when you catch a picture or a video of me playing, I just die laughing because you could hear my big old feet, boom, 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 as I'm running, sprinting. I forgot to mention, I was really, really fast. So that bode well for me playing basketball. I'd already be ahead of the game, down the court, ready for the long pass to make the layup. But sometimes my awkward little body was too fast, and I would totally miss that layup because I didn't have any control. So it was fun, challenging, definitely comical. But those years playing basketball meant everything to me. Probably too much at one point or another. It was honestly my first love. Being on that court made me feel alive, made me feel seen, without wanting to be seen. That was the beauty of it all. I'd run up and down that court, forgetting who I was, forgetting my problems, my worries, my insecurities, and I would just play. Play for the love of the game, for the love of basketball. I remember when we would have scheduled games playing at other schools, how excited I was. I'd get real quiet, and I would just go into this trance, this zone, and I would block out everything else. And I could feel the nerves, the excitement, the adrenaline built up as we were ready for the jump ball. And then the whistle would blow, and it was game time. And we played some pretty competitive teams. And as much as it sucked losing, it didn't really bother me as much because we played hard. We tried our best. And when we were on fire, man, we were on fire. You see, my best friend and I, we had this magic between us. This unspoken word of knowing where we were on the court and knowing that with her height and her basketball skills, that she would be right behind me if I missed a shot and she'd make it and get all the glory. And I was okay with that because she was a phenomenal basketball player. She grew into a phenomenal basketball player. And I loved that for her. It was fun to watch my mom and my best friend's mom trying their best to coach or screaming at the refs when a call wasn't being made or when other teams were being too aggressive. I mean, don't get me wrong, we had some feisty players on our own team too, and girls can get brutal on the court, but that wasn't my scene. It wasn't my style. I didn't like confrontation. I didn't like the aggressiveness. I played because I loved to play. Was I upset if the game was being played unfair? Of course. But I do remember I had just had surgery. I had tubes put into my ears and I was supposed to rest. And the next day we had a game and I'm so bummed. I have tears in my eyes because my mom said, "What kind of coach would I be if I let you play?" And I understood it, but I was angry. I was angry because another surgery made me miss out on something that I love and identified with. But I sat there on the bench and the game was so close. And I gave my mom the puppy dog eye look. "Put me in. I'm fine. I swear to God, I'm fine." And it wasn't until the last 2 minutes where I took off my hoodie and my sweatpants. I secretly wore my uniform just in case my mom decided to play me. And of course she did. And we brought the score back up. But unfortunately, because of the limited time I got to play, we ended up losing. But it was so much fun. It was so exciting at the end, making that huge comeback. I'll never forget it. And my mom's looking at me like, "Did I just make a horrible parental mistake?" And I say no. I say, "You did a great job, Mom. Way to play me." Do I wish I would have played longer? Of course. But it's now in the books of memories as something phenomenal, something wild and entertaining to share. So you see, when I was on that court, I got to also meet other players and their families. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but living on the south side of Chicago, it's like 360 degrees of everyone knows everyone. My mom went to the same high school as I did, knew a lot of the people I was about to encounter through basketball, especially in grade school. But I didn't really find that out or figure it out until I was in high school. So for instance, we played a St. Bede Parish. They were really good. They were amazing. And one day while we were all hanging out watching another game, not realizing that we probably should have gone home, but my mom had run into an old friend. And that old friend was someone she used to hang out with who was the mother of a child on the other team. And I didn't put all that together until later, but the girl had come up to me. She was really good at basketball. And she would just always say something nice or include me in conversations. So we got to know each other on a level, not so much a friendship level just yet, but on a courtesy level. And every time we played each other, she would make sure to come over and we would say hi, give each other a hug. And it wasn't until high school that her and I actually became best friends. And this is when we all figured out that a lot of our parents and the friendships I made, they used to hang out in the same circle. So you see, it all circles back. And that to me is wild and beautiful, but it's because of the love of basketball. Now let's backtrack. So we're in grade school and we're playing other teams and we're meeting new people. Some rivals, some pure enemies. I was either loved or hated on the court and I couldn't understand why. But I think it's because I was too fast for some people and that drove some people nuts. But I wasn't as good as other players. There were some phenomenal players out there who I had only dreamed of playing as good as them. And my little awkward body would just run and run that court and dribble around people, make passes or shoot. Sometimes even surprise myself at times. I didn't know how I was doing it. I was just doing it. But along the way, I guess I stood out to some people too. And I'll get to that in a little bit. But back to being on that court and my love for basketball, I soon realized something. I realized when I was on that court, for the next 45 minutes to an hour, I was just me. I was this beautiful little girl living out her dream, playing a sport she loved, feeling the love and the excitement from that basketball. I was attached to that sport. I was attached to the game, the adrenaline, the excitement, the fear, the nerves, the escape. On the court, I wasn't different. I didn't feel like my looks mattered. It was all about the love of the sport. In part, though, I became attached to this illusion of no identity, just love of basketball. After the game, I would get a lot of compliments or hold conversations with the opponents and their families, or even coaches, telling me how amazing I did, or how fast I was. The compliments were great, but at the time I didn't know how to really accept or believe in those compliments. So I would listen, I would say thank you, or I would just become so quiet and awkward and shy, which growing up in grade school I did a lot of, and I would just smile and just carry on with my life. It was that simple, until it wasn't, until I realized something, but not then as much as during the last few years of healing. Do you remember how I talked about self-reflection is key? And for me, this is how I learned all about what love and basketball meant for me, but did for me. So let's go back to when I became attached to this illusion of no identity and solely focused on just the love for basketball. Well, unfortunately, basketball became the only thing I knew to love and understand. So when I was a sophomore in high school and I was cut from the team, I had no more identity. I was already lost in the abyss of all my surgeries from my past. I was lost in the identity of struggling as a teenager in an all-girls Catholic school, comparing myself to everyone else, not feeling beautiful, not understanding, always questioning my faith, life, existence. So now when you take basketball away from me, who am I? What do I really have left of me? I was crushed. I was devastated. I was this scrawny little 15-year-old who lost purpose. I really had no clue back then what to do with myself without basketball. And there goes the whole attachment. I didn't know then what attachment really was, but it played a huge detrimental role in my life. So I couldn't just walk away. And I begged the coaches just to be an assistant to help. I didn't care if I was doing stats, just so I could practice with the team, just so I can feel the ball, hear it hitting the ground, shooting, being amongst athletes, players whom I've known for the past year and a half, playing the sport I love and doing something that I only knew how to do. And so for the next 2 years, I was the assistant until I no longer played that role. And it's not because I learned everything. That didn't happen until my 40s. But it allowed me to survive then. It allowed me to heal without really healing. You see, I didn't know that then, but when universe removes one thing, it allows room for other things to come through. And that's how I learned soccer was a sport that I loved to play, that I loved learning about and growing into. I didn't play forever. I didn't become attached to it. I just enjoyed it for what it offered. And to circle back to all of this, when I mentioned the whole 360 degrees, everyone knows everyone. Well, years upon years, we're in our adulthood. A former athlete from grade school reached out to me one day, sent me a DM explaining how she remembered me being this awesome basketball player in grade school, that her dad had reminded her of me. And I was a bit curious, but she went on to say she had a daughter with Apert syndrome. She was born and she was going through the struggle of identity, of understanding, of being a first-time mom and being scared. And I got that. I understood to the extent that I could. I knew my mom would probably understand a lot more as she was the mother of a child born with a syndrome. So I went on to read, and at the hospital, her dad had brought my name up and said, "Remember that really fast, amazing basketball player from St. Christina?" And she went on to say, "Yes, yes, I do." And he said, "She lived a great life. She lived with a disability and still lived a great life. And so could your daughter." And that was so heartwarming to reach out to me in a time of need, when I've never spoken to her since grade school. Our paths never crossed. And here, in this moment, they would. And that's why I'm grateful. Grateful for the love of basketball. You never know what the experience is actually bringing to the table for you on your journey. And although I lost the love for basketball, it wasn't until I became a Special Olympics coach. And at the time, the torch was kind of passed over to me, and we just had a track team. And I wanted to go bigger, dream bigger, and create a basketball team. And I wasn't given a lot of praise for this, more so, good luck. Good luck. You're not going to get that kind of support from people. And I didn't care. You had to try. This is for the kids, not for me, for the kids. And then that's when it happened. That year, we created not one, but two basketball teams because we had that much of an interest. In the last 12 years, out of the 14 coaching, minus COVID, unfortunately, we've had basketball and bowling and track. We've created something so big from a one-day event when the torch was passed over. And it's such an honor to be able to give such opportunities, such infinite possibilities to these athletes. And it brings such love to my heart that I could transform what was taken away from me into a beautiful gift I can offer others. I could give everyone, not just single people out, not just single only the best athletes can play, but I can offer every athlete the chance to play basketball and fall in love with such a sport that allows them to feel like they're soaring in the sky, that their dreams are big and reachable. I've been coaching for 14 years now, and there's still always love in basketball. But this time around, there's no more attachment. This time around, It's just love, unconditionally, for the game, for the athletes, for the infinite possibilities it can offer them. And with that being said, I am finally resigning from basketball, from coaching altogether for Special Olympics. I knew it was time. We've had a great run, so many memories. But I also know in my heart that someone else can replace me and take it to a whole new level. Like I said, it was only a one-day track event when it first started. And when it was handed off to me and my other two coaches, whom I loved immensely, we turned it into something so profound, so magical. We turned it into infinite possibilities for our athletes to win state for bowling, for track, and for basketball. They're the success stories, not us. So I know that someone else with high vibrations, amazing energy, can transform it into something even bigger than what we've already done so far. And that right there gives me hope, gets me excited for the athletes, because in the end, it's always about them, not about us, not about the politics. It's about them enjoying, embracing the game that they love because it purely comes straight from their heart, from their soul. They bring the magic to Special Olympics. We're just lucky enough to offer the opportunities for them. So I know it's time. I know it's time to let go of the reins and pass off the torch to someone else. And they too can carry on the love of basketball. So you see, the love of basketball has been a part of my journey this entire time. It had deeper meaning to it. It had lessons within it. All the things I did not know until I finally awakened to the world around me, to the depths within me, and started piecing everything together, doing a lot of self-reflection. So that's key, going within, discovering your journey and the brilliance of it all, the signs, the synchronicities, the messages, the lessons. It's all for a purpose, something so beyond greater than what you could ever expect. Here I thought it was just love and the sport, but it was so much more. It brought together differences. In a way, it allowed me to heal. It allowed me to represent a healing purpose for others as they crossed my path. How lucky am I to just have all of these experiences and be able to piece them all together and just be grateful. Even in the darkest of times, I wouldn't go back and change anything because the love of basketball is where it has gotten me to today. And I've allowed myself to detach from the attachment of an illusion, from the great escape, and just have pure unconditional love for a sport that has taught me everything. With that being said, not only am I going to thank you for joining me on this episode, but thank you for joining me on my journey and being a part of it.